Hello, New Life Friday. Let's stand. Let's just prepare our hearts to step into a place of worship. There is truth tonight that we serve a God who reigns, who is good, who is for us, and who is here with us. He is worthy tonight. Let's bring an offering together. Come on, let's sing this.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Yeah.
Come on, let's sing it again.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone, it's Christ alone.
The Savior's love, and through the storm, He is Lord, He's Lord,
He's Lord of all. Hey.
When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace.
In His righteousness. deserve it all. Oh, Jesus, evermore, we worship you.
Jesus, oh, you broke stand in awe. You deserve it all, Jesus, evermore we worship you.
Across this room, can we lift our hands to the Lord tonight and surrender? The life of heaven fill us tonight. The power of heaven fill us tonight, God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
For my waking breath, for my day,
you're the way, the
with every breath, with every thought, with every action. Be glorified, O Lord. Be glorified in us, O God. Can we sing this together, family? I depend.
I depend on you.
We depend.
I depend on you. I depend on you.
You sing that tonight.
I depend on you.
Yes, Lord.
I depend on
you.
I depend on
you. Oh, and
I depend on you.
And all authority, every victory.
Jesus, victorious in every way, in every circumstances, saving us and our Savior. I love this song. John writes it this way, not Johnny again, John the Apostle, in chapter 12 of Revelation, says that they overcame, triumph, victorious by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Friends, this word testimony means so much to Leah and I. My wife, we talk a lot about story. We talk a lot about the story that the Lord is telling through our lives and that he's telling about himself through our testimony. Testimony means evidence. Evidence, proof of an existence. We have evidence of God's faithfulness in our lives. We have proof that he has been victorious for us in the past, and he will reign and be victorious in our circumstances now, but he'll reign forever. Jesus is victorious. Can we say thank you to the Lord again for that? We have evidence. We have proof that God is faithful. And Jeremiah says it this way, in chapter 31, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness, and I will build you up again. The Lord wants to build you up again. Some of you need peace tonight, and God says, I have peace for you. Some of you need to be reminded of God's unfailing love. He wants to build you up again tonight. He is here for you. We have a beautiful testimony in this place, friends. I love you. We love you. We love that we get to worship God together, and we are overcomers. We are victorious because Jesus is victorious. And I promise you, the story that God is telling through your lives, it matters. It matters. We're going to see other people be victorious in our city, in your families. I mean, we're praying for people here as a church that we need God to show up and be victorious. One of the ways that we get to prove it to people and our testimony matters is as we give to the Lord. And so you know how to do this. There's three ways we can give, but let's pray as we give to the Lord. Lord, your everlasting love for us, the way that you've proved it over and over and over, how intimate you are with us, how you know us, and you're revealing yourself to us again now. And so, Lord, have your way. Reveal yourself to us, and through these gifts, reveal yourself to our city and to our world. Lord, we love you and we worship you. And we pray in Jesus' name, let's continue to worship.
Welcome to New Life Friday night. Are you glad to be here? I am glad to be here. Can we say thank you to Micah Massey for joining us with the team this week? Micah, thank you for coming. The team, excellent work. If you're new with us, God is doing something really beautiful. We're about to have finished our 10th year as New Life Friday night. And last week we had 969 people here, which was beautiful. 199 of those were children. And so our children's ministry is just exploding. That's good. We're keeping up with the Catholics. It's a great thing. We are building the church one baby at a time. And so we've got all kinds of serve opportunities. If you want to join us in strengthening our serve team, you can come to the table in the back and see Vincent afterwards, and he'll help you think through the different ways that you can get connected around here. If you're in the military, we have Military Connect right after the service. In this little hallway, out this door here in room 160, Carson and Morgan Roberts lead that for us. They're volunteers here at the church. So if that's you, anyone who has military history, you're just getting started or you've been retired for 20 years, swing by and there's some snacks and a good time together. So Military Connect after the service. I feel like I'm missing something that I need to say tonight, but the team will probably correct me later. It's okay. You can laugh. It's fine. You're like, we'll be funny. All right. Very good. Could you take a seat real quick? We're going to dedicate a human being to the Lord. I would like to invite the Costantino family up to the stage here, and we're going to pray blessing. Come on up, grandma and grandpa, aunties and uncles, friends. Give it up for the Costantinos as they come. got good history with this family, and so good to celebrate them tonight. And Jordan, could you bring the microphone up when you come? Love you guys. Good to see you. Could you tell us the full name and the age?
Kira Dove Costantino, and she's 18 months.
Kira, little honey right there. Kira, you want to say anything? Say hi. Can you say hi?
She was singing earlier.
She was singing? Okay. Well, Kira, we are thrilled you're here. I want to give you this, Mom and Dad. Scriptures here as a statement that you're not just dedicating Kira to the Lord. You're dedicating yourselves, your family to the Lord, that your home will be a place where the glory of God dwells. She wants her Bible, Dad. So give her her Bible. Thank you. Yes, good. Thank you. Appreciate that. So as you tuck her in at night and as you pray the blessing and as you sit around the table and as you drive through town, open up the story of faith and pray together. And so tonight we give you that scripture as a way of saying to raise her in the way of the Lord. Tonight I'm going to put some anointing oil on her head in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We got a big crew here. Kira is well-loved and you guys are well-loved. And so church, would you stretch out your hands tonight and begin to speak blessing as if Kira was a part of your family, because she is. Lord, tonight, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we dedicate Kira. And we say, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We pray that she would love Jesus all the days of her life. We pray that she would love what is good and hate what is evil. We pray that she would have a tender heart after you from the earliest memories. We pray that she would sleep sweetly at night and that the angels of God would hover over her. Psalm 91 says, "For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you safe in all of your ways. And they will lift you up in their hands so that you do not dash your foot against a stone." Lord, keep Kira from falling, we pray. We pray that she would be strong in body, strong in mind, strong in spirit. We pray that she would give the devil a headache. We pray that she would be powerful in the kingdom of God. We pray that she would be fearless in Jesus' name. We pray that the joy of the Lord would be her strength. We pray for good friends. We know how crucial friends are. He who walks, or she who walks with wise people, will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. And so, Lord, we pray that all fools would be driven away in Jesus' name. Surround her with good friendship, good counselors, good people to stand with her. Lord, we pray for Mom and Dad, that at every critical juncture, they would have wisdom from heaven, that they would have prophetic sensitivity to know when to speak, to know what to say. We pray that their hearts would be tender toward one another. The prophet said, "In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit, and the hearts of the children would be turned to the parents, and the hearts of the parents would be turned to the children." And so we thank you that this home will be marked by unity, that this home will be marked by peace, that this home will be filled with the glory of God. We pray for Kira, and we pray, Lord, bless her and keep her, and make your face to shine upon her and be gracious to her. Lord, lift your countenance upon her and all of her family, and would you grant them shalom, peace tonight, we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, could you give it up for Kira tonight? High five. Can you give me five? Yeah. Would you stand one more time, okay? We want to be the smallest big church in America, which means we know each other, we love each other, we're kind to one another. So take 2 minutes. There's going to be a timer that goes up. Take 2 minutes, cross the aisle, hug a neck, shake a hand, say hi to your friends, be kind in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3, go. All right, all right, all right. Grab your seats, come on in. Thrilled to see you. We've got the low hum of the people of God enjoying each other. A couple couple things before I get started. Next week is going to be a fun night. We've got a special gift coming. We've got the North Park University Gospel Choir coming to sing next Friday night. So next Friday night, what you're going to see is you're going to see 40 18 to 22-year-olds from Chicago up here tearing the stage apart in worship, singing. We're going to have choir risers. We're going to have a Hammond B3 organ. It's going to be a blast. And so next Friday night, you won't want, it's just going to be joy. It's going to be fun. So mark your calendar next Friday night, March 8th, the North Park University Gospel Choir. Another thing, it just kind of hit me, Lisa, earlier that 20 years ago today, I drove across town in Tulsa to meet with your 6'5", 275-pound dad to ask him if his daughter, if I could talk to his daughter to see if she would be my girlfriend. And so 20 years ago today, my life changed, and you are the best thing that's ever happened to me. Would you give it up for Lisa Carroll Wakely Grothy? Just as sweet as they come, and good gracious, I am blessed. John chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 7. We're in week 7 of our series going through the Gospel of John. We're going to be in it really actually up to the beginning of the summer. It's just too good to race through. So John chapter 7, if you're reading along with us, great. If you're not, maybe just make that a part of your Bible study before you come to church. John 7, what I'm going to do is read 7 verses here at the end of the chapter. It's Jesus speaking some really important words that we need to hear tonight. I'll pray after reading it, and then we'll jump in. So hear the word of the Lord Jesus out of John 7:37. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, because there's a massive audience, a crowd in Jerusalem. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Holy Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified, aka crucified. On hearing these words, some of the people said, surely this man is a prophet. And others said, he is the Messiah. And still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? That's backwoods over there. No, nothing good comes from Galilee. Does not Scripture say that Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem? I guess they forgot that he was born in Bethlehem. They kind of missed the cue there. The town where David lived. And then it goes on to say, thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Jesus somehow has a way of doing that to people. The crowds are fighting about Jesus. And no, he's not. And yes, he is. And maybe he's just something. He's just a good teacher. But they were divided because of Jesus. And some wanted to seize him to kill him. But no one laid a hand on him. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, thanks be to God. Let's pray tonight. Jesus, say it again tonight. I really do believe that by the Spirit of the Lord, that can happen. That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm dying for. That's what has to happen. Jesus, speak. If this is Daniel Grothy's show, God have mercy on us all. This is a waste of time. But Lord, if your word is living and active, and if your word is sharper than a double-edged sword, and if your word pierces and divides, and if your word slices up the evil and takes it out of us, and if your word heals us to the core, we're going to be just fine tonight. So Jesus, would you stand up here tonight? And would you speak? I pray that I would decrease and that you might increase. Spirit of Jesus Christ, have your way. We invite you tonight. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in the name of Jesus Christ and all God's people said. Amen. The way a nation remembers and celebrates says a lot about a nation. And here in John chapter 7, Jesus is in a national moment. The people have gone up to Jerusalem, and it says, on the last and greatest day of the feast. In our text tonight, the Israelites are in Jerusalem celebrating a holiday that they call, still to this day, they call it Sukkot. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the Feast of Booths. Maybe you've heard one of those three phrases. Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. And it goes all the way back to Leviticus 23, where God says to them, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of this seventh month is the Feast of Booths for 7 days to the Lord. He's calling a national holiday. God says, shut it down. And come up to Jerusalem and worship and open up your calendar and open up your hearts and don't be distracted. I'm going to meet with you and I'm going to make you new. So 7 days committed to the Lord. You shall live in booths for 7 days. This is a really strange thing. And all the native born in Israel shall live in booths so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He's saying, do what I tell you. On the 15th day of the seventh month every year, go up for 7 days. Everyone leaves your agrarian fields. This is one of what they would call the three pilgrimage festivals. So most of life didn't happen in Jerusalem. These are 98% of them subsistence farmers on small plots of land, and they're trying to figure out how to wring a living out of a small tract of land in an arid place. It was grueling, backbreaking work. So these are, their hands are calloused, and these are salt of the earth, agrarians, every day praying, give us this day our daily bread, and they meant it literally. But Jesus is there because God in the Old Testament had said through Moses, all of the people of God, Jesus is God, by the way, we'll just go ahead and settle that. His father had commanded that the people would come up to Jerusalem for 7 days, so they all left their fields, they all left their jobs, and they came up and they lived in these, I've got a picture, they lived in these little booths that they built. They, outside of their homes, they wouldn't sleep in their home, they would build a booth out in the streets. Some of you are like, that sounds terrible. Imagine all of us for a week going out in tents, like in Colorado Springs, in tents, where we could be sleeping comfortable in our beds, we could be working our jobs, we could be doing the normal run around, and God says, shut it down for a week and just gather around the campfire and worship me and be together. I would enjoy being with most of you for the week. But this is what they did every single year. They would live in these little tabernacles, these tents, these Sukkot, and they would remember what God did for them in Egypt. This was a dramatization of the story of God's provision and salvation. It's one of the three pilgrimage feasts. People were commanded to go up, and it was a feast of just great joy, celebration, childlikeness, playfulness, leaving the cares of home at home. Everyone brought up bulls and goats and turtle doves, and they were going to sacrifice, and they were all going to, it was just a barbecue for a week in the presence of God, celebrating God's faithfulness, and it was at the end of their agricultural season. They just finished bringing in the harvest. And this feast was celebrating two major themes. Yes, their ancestors' deliverance from Egypt, that slavery was finally finished for our people, but also it was to celebrate the most recent harvest, that the brutal labor had finally ceased. Like, we could finally rest. The threshing floors had been cleared. The fields had been picked over. We've filled our barns. Our storehouses are well. Our pantry is full. Everyone worked together on the harvest, and we're exhausted. And God knows we're exhausted, so he told us to stop for a week. Go on holiday. Celebrate that I've been good to you. Celebrate that I've provided for you. And what they were celebrating, the major theme of their festival, was a celebration of water. That water had everything to do with their remembering. Think going back to Egypt, the slavery in Egypt. God says, get out. Come on, let's go. Let my people go. And they go down, and where do they get stopped? It's not a rhetorical question. The Red Sea. They're stopped. They've got nowhere to go. Pharaoh's army starts chasing them down. There's the big dust cloud behind them. Pharaoh changed his mind because his free labor was leaving the country. And so he goes to get them. And what does God say to Moses? Stretch out your rod to the water. And he does. And the water parts and they go through on dry ground. And then Pharaoh and his army come through thinking they're going to get a nice smooth passage. And the water collapses in on them. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. And they sang and they danced. Because at the water where they thought their story was going to stop, God saved them. So they're celebrating God's provision of water and miraculous power over the great waters. But then they go out into the wilderness for 40 years and there's no King Supers. There's no grocery orders and deliveries and drop shipping anything. There's no Joy Burst waters and there's none of that boutique stuff. They're just out there in the rugged terrain. And what does God provide for them? Manna from heaven and water from the rock. So when they take a week off of work after the great festival of bringing in the harvest, they sit there and they remember that we were on the brink once in Egypt, but God brought us through the waters. And then when we were in the desert for 40 years and we had no way to provide for ourselves, God brought us the manna and God brought us the waters. So they're remembering water. But they're also remembering water right here at this moment because you can't grow crops without water and you can't yoke the oxen and have them plow the fields if the oxen don't have water to drink because they'll break down and the cattle will die without water. And if we don't have water, we don't have life. And they just cleaned up the fields and the barns are full. And what they're saying is, God did it again. He opened up the heavens. And he sent his rain in the proper seasons. And God loves us. And God provides for us. And God takes care of us. And does it feel like we're just kind of living on the edge of faith all the time? Yes. But is the barn filled tonight like I know what my name is? Yes, it is. And God did that because God loves us. God provided what we needed. A celebration of God's provision and God's faithfulness. They came through the Red Sea and God gave them water and God filled the barns. And so what the priest would do at the beginning of this 7-day celebration is the priest would go down to the pool of Siloam where there was water and he had a golden ladle. All I have is a KitchenAid piece of trash that someone bought us 19 years ago for our wedding, okay? Thank you for the Target registry. But it's, you know, it's a piece of junk. It works. It's worked for 19 years. But anyway, he had this really sophisticated golden ladle. It was beautiful. And he would go down to the pool of Siloam where we read about miracles happening. And he would take a little bit of water and fill up this ladle. And can we have a little fun tonight? Are you guys okay if I just, I mean, some of you are a little bit nervous tonight, but what do you think about the, so he would fill up the ladle. And the whole town, the whole community, everyone was there and they would just march through the city and, sorry, I'll stop. That's good. That was fun. For like 30 seconds. So he would fill up the ladle and everyone would be with him from the pool of Siloam. And what he would do is he would walk uphill to the temple in Jerusalem with the water in the golden ladle. And he would walk up to the altar where all the sacrifices were made. He would be in the presence of the people of God where they worship and where they read Torah, where they celebrate God's faithfulness, delivering them from Egypt, delivering them from the Red Sea, providing all their needs, and they just filled their barns, okay? So these people are saying, God did it again. And there's been 100 times where I thought he was going to fail us. There's been 100 times where I wondered how the next bill was going to get paid. There was 100 times where I wondered if this was the time where God decided to walk away from us. And help, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. But somehow, some way, this season, it worked again. God provided for his people. And he would go to the edge of the altar and he would pour it out and they would say, bless the name of the Lord who always takes care of his people. There's a celebration of God's faithfulness that they would enter into every single year. And so I want to talk to you just a bit about the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, what they were trying to do. In this feast, they were remembering, their remembrance was three-dimensional. First, the Feast of Tabernacles was about remembering God's faithfulness in the past. Remembering what he has done. Remembering the stories that happened when we weren't even alive. These people are, it was their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents that were delivered out of Egypt. They weren't there. They didn't see it. But every generation passed down the story of God's faithfulness. And you tell your kids, and then you make sure they tell their kids, and then you make sure they tell their kids that Yahweh never fails. Don't you ever forget this story. They sit around right now, Jews all over the United States of America. It's Shabbat. The Sabbath just began. And they're in their homes and they've got a candle lit at the center of the table, a beautiful loaf of bread and a beautiful glass of wine. And they're sitting around saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And God always takes care of his people. And what they're doing is they're passing on the stories that we were once slaves and we were once on the brink. But somehow, some way, tonight we sit at the table as God's free children. Don't ever forget the past. Don't ever forget what God has done for you. Don't ever forget God's faithfulness. I've got here tonight my great-great-grandmother's diary. 1930, it says right here. Security State Bank and Trust, Colton, Washington. It says, a strong bank. Brett, you like that, man. You got to get you one of these. A strong bank. Integrity Bank, a strong bank. Okay, so 1930, January, my great-great-grandmother's, and every single day of the year, she makes an entry. And my grandpa Dan, her grandson, my grandpa Dan, she's got like 50 years of these, and he's transcribed every one. So this is 1930, and this diary was written by Lula Baker Wilson, wife of Nathan Amer Wilson and mother of Harry Oren and Burl Wilson Slats, who was my great-grandfather. And it begins January 5th. And I just highlighted a few of these today. Every day you find out how many turkey eggs they got and how many chicken eggs they got. Every day. So Saturday the 15th of March, 1930, stormy this morning, not working, we couldn't work, was a bit sick today, went to bed at noon, 30 eggs. Monday the 24th, rainy morning and nothing doing, turkey hen and a magpie had a fight, egg was destroyed. God's honest truth, egg was destroyed. And she misspelled destroyed, D-I-S. She, you know, hooked on phonics did not work for her. It was 1930. You just make it, okay? Egg was destroyed. Letter from Horatio from Yuma, Arizona. Turkey eggs, zero because it was destroyed. Chicken eggs, 40. I sewed some clothes today. Some mending for Lucille. Turkey eggs, 4. Hen eggs, 29. Sold some cream for $2.87. Thursday the 10th. Nice day. The men are harrowing out in the field. Went to Lewiston, took 15 dozen eggs, sold for $3. You traveled to Lewiston with 15 dozen eggs and you only came home with $3? Thanks a lot, Bin Laden. I mean, what in the world? That is too much work for $3. There's a good one here. 1930. August 10th, it says 9 o'clock, Burl just called, reported an 11-pound baby boy just arrived about an hour ago, Daniel Kemp Wilson. That's my grandpa. I'm Daniel Wilson Grothy. August 10th, 1930. So, like, what I'm here to say to you tonight is do not forget what God has done for you in the past. It may have looked like zero turkey eggs one day and 40 chicken, you know, hen eggs one day and $2.87 for some cream. And I'm just working super hard to carry in 15 dozen eggs to town. And it doesn't seem like light, but somehow, some way, my family story hasn't stopped yet. It just kept on going. And God provided, and God provided, and God provided. And he gave us some water at the proper time. And so what do? We come into the temple of the Lord regularly, and we come up to the altar, and we pour out that water, and we say, good job, God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. The Feast of Tabernacles is a reminder of what God has done in the past. And Jesus is at the feast because he wants to remember the faithfulness of God. He wants us to remember the faithfulness of God. It's time to remember that you don't have to really have all the luxuries to be happy. Can you put up the picture one more time of the Feast of Booths, the booths? That I, you know, they're out in the streets. They left their homes. They're living in these little rickety tents that they put up. And what they're supposed to remember when they go out there is, you know what? You don't always have to be loaded. If we have food and clothing, if God has provided, if we had breath in our lungs this morning, somehow, some way, there is joy to be found. The simplicity. I remember 19 years ago marrying this girl, and we had one car. It was the best. Because I just got her all of the time. Like, thank God we've got two cars now, but God was good then, and if we got down to one car now, we would figure it out. And God would be faithful all along the way. Friends, this is a moment where you remember that God was good to your parents. God was good to your grandparents. God was good to your great-grandparents. And somehow, some way, we're all here tonight on March 1st, 2024, not because God has been bad, but because God has been good to us. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you ever take time to remember what God has done for you way back then? I've got another picture that I want to show you. This is the van that I grew up in. Anyone else have a Dodge Caravan, 1984? Anyway, it's a shorter but taller fake, what do they call that? A fake station wagon. It's a fake station wagon. Let's just be honest what it is. It's aspiring to be a station wagon, but it's not yet cool enough. I grew up in this car, and it had the pleather seats, you know, super sticky. At Tulsa, Oklahoma, 105 degrees in the summer with 100% humidity. And in high school, my parents calculated, my three sisters and me, we all played sports, and in high school, we were averaging 13 games a week. And they traveled around, they drove us around in this with the fake wood paneling, and there was no air conditioner in the back, and right? Because that wasn't a thing. Stop acting like that air conditioners can be in the back, right? We had that, and that got us where we needed to be. But like 105 degrees after getting in the van, that van, by the way, was its own ecosystem. We were stinky, we were sweaty, we were prepubescent and then pubescent, and then we were working really hard and we were sweating, and we get in and you're like, you leave some of the skin on the pleather after you get out, you know, it's 105 degrees and you stand up and it rips some of you with it, right? God was good. God was good then. God was really good then. My parents, though, they took us on a journey of faith, me and my three sisters, and they said, you know what? We want to believe God for a van with an air conditioner in the back. And I remember the day they told it to us. I remember, viscerally, I remember the room I was in. I was like, they make those? Yeah, let's believe God. Yeah, he's good. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We can get some AC in the back. So we wrote it out on a piece of paper. We had a family prayer list. We agreed as a family. We made our list together. We had like 10 or 12 items that we were praying for. It must have been 1989. So we put it up. Mom taped it in all of our rooms and in our bathroom. So everywhere we went in the house, we saw our prayer list. And one of those things was a van with AC in the back. And we just, Lord, thank you. You're going to bring us a van with AC in the back. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to suffer through these Oklahoma summers. And Lord, we thank you that there's nothing that's too difficult for you. And Lord, we thank you that as we sow and we trust you and we give and we're generous, that you give it to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken back, you know, shaking, running over. And it would be given back to you. You know, like we had these prayers and we meant it. And somehow, some way, we were praying for a Ford Econoline Mark IV van, and I want to show you what God gave us. We were balling. Anyone ever been in one of these? I mean, they pick LeBron James up at the private airport in this stuff these days. Like, this was swanky. You could lay down, it had a VHS player, you know, you could watch movies on these road trips. I know it sounds silly, and I'm being silly, I'm having some fun, but that was a moment for our family. We were so thankful for the caravan, and it got us where we needed to be, but some kind of faith rose up in us that, you know what, there's more. And so we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and I'll never forget going to the car dealership that day and getting in with my dad, and he was so proud. And I sat in the front seat next to him. I might have been 12 or 13 years old. And we were just looking at each other like, can you believe this happened? I'll never forget this, though. Not because it was a great, we needed God to show us he could do it. And he did it. And I will never forget the faithfulness of God. When you come into the presence of the Lord, when you gather together with the saints, what you need to do is you need to look back and you need to remember your stories and you need to say, you know what? He did it then. And this thing that I'm facing right now that I have no idea about, I don't know how he's going to fix this, but somehow, some way, great is thy faithfulness and you did it then. And so something in me says, just hang on for a minute because you're going to deliver, friends. It's about remembering God's faithfulness in the past. But the tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, this moment where you come into the presence of God with the people of God, it's also about trusting God's faithfulness in the presence. In the present. That was really sophisticated. In the presence. Trusting God's faithfulness in the presence. Sorry. Oh, it's been a long week. I'm so sorry. His faithfulness in the present. They just cleaned up the threshing floors. They just filled the barns. They just finished the agricultural year. But now here's the thing. The agricultural year in one day reset. They just busted their tails. They just worked so hard. The whole year had sort of crescendoed to this moment. And boom, God delivers. And boom, provision breaks out. Thank God, but also at the same time, it reset. Have you ever wondered, like, okay, God did that, but I got like three other things that are just crises in the making. Like, have you seen the economic reports? Have you seen the interest rates? Have you seen what's going on with inflation? Have you seen the housing? Do you know what's going on out there? Like, yes, he has been faithful, thank God, in the past. But what's he going to do right now? Because this moment is crazy. Have you seen the political forecast? Have you read about what's happening in the nations of the earth? Have you read about what's happening at the border? Have you read about what's happening in the streets? Have you read about what's happening with prices? Have you read about the food banks being empty right here in our own city? Have you read? Yes, he's been faithful, but do you know what's going on right now? They're at this festival and they can't work. And have you ever felt like God just stopped you in your tracks? Like, I need you not to do anything, and I need you to live by faith. Don't go work your fields. Don't go stress about the future. I just need you to hit reset. I need you to pause. I need you to celebrate the gift. Sometimes we're going so fast, we don't even celebrate God's faithfulness. We're just so frantic about the present. And what we're doing right here in this moment, in this festival of worship that Jesus is that these people are asking God to take care of them in the present. They're resetting for 1 week, and they're resting in God's presence, but they're also expecting God to pour out rain for the next cycle because the autumn is upon them. And if they're going to have a prosperous harvest next year, it's got to start raining like right now. In Joel 2:23, it says, "Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before." So you need it to rain all throughout the year. And yes, they just finished their big work, but the heavens have to open like here in the next little bit if we're going to have a good next year. If we're going to eat next year, it has to start right now. And what these people are saying is, "Lord, right now we trust you. We trust you for this moment. Yes, thank you, but you also know you can't take a day off with us, God. You've got to stay faithful to us right now." And they're remembering God's, they're trusting in God's faithfulness in the present. Like when you've paid the final college bill for your kid, have you ever had a moment where something was closed up, like you paid that final college bill for your kid, but now someone's in the hospital? Life is funny like this. It doesn't seem that we ever get a reprieve where everything just stops and is static at like goodness. Like airtight goodness. Like the barns are filled, we're here, we have no worries, everything's fine for like 6 months. Like if you've got one of those, tell me. Like let me know where I can get one of those seasons. But God is faithful and you pay the college bill, but now you've got an aging parent that's in the hospital and you're having to figure out end of life care and it just seems to never stop. Have you ever had one of those moments where things have just settled with a strained relationship, but then you get fired from your job? And now you're looking for provision. Have you ever had one of those moments where you've finally gotten free from an addiction, but then the economy tanks and you're stressed about that? Yes, God has been faithful in the past, but this moment of worship is also about trusting God to be present with us right here and right now. And I'll just say to you, there is no point in the Christian life where we ever get to graduate from trust. I hate this. Can a pastor be honest? Some of you think this is easy for us. Oh, yeah, well, it's hard for me to trust, but those guys, they got to fix. No, I hate that Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." I want to pray, "Give me this year my yearly bread, front load me, and then I'll budget it and I'll trust you." Basically, what I'm saying is I don't want to have to live by faith. I want, just give me what I need and then go on. Go on, God. Circle back with me next January 1. We'll have a little conversation, a little agenda item, a budget meeting. You give me my installment, and then I'll be okay again because I'm a good steward, and I don't want to live by faith. God will not let us walk away from him. God loves us too much to give us too long of a leash. God loves to keep us close. God loves to keep us face to face. This is why Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Why? Because when you're checking in with God every single day, your heart stays tender. When you're checking in with God every single day, you stay in touch with the needs of other people. When you're staying in touch with God every single day, you can't get proud. All you can do is come get on your knees and say, "Father, here I am again, and I need you to provide for me today." Yes, he's been faithful in the past. And yes, we are called to trust him right here and right now in the present. There is no time where we will ever get to graduate from trust and actually be very scared of the day when you think you don't need him. That is the most dangerous place any of us could ever be. And there have been times where I have felt on the edge of that, where I felt like this seems pretty good right now. And I think I could mail it in. I think I could cut some corners. I think I could just kind of go easy for the next 2 or 3 months because I don't wanna live at the hand of God. But that is the most dangerous place when you're drifting off into self. You're drifting off into your own way. You're drifting off into your own provision. It's about remembering God's faithfulness in the past. It's about trusting God's faithfulness in the present. But it's also about anticipating God's faithfulness in the future. At this festival that Jesus was at, one of the things they would do in that 7 days is they would kill 70 bulls. They would sacrifice 70 bulls. Kind of strange. We don't understand this. I've never sacrificed a bull here on stage in front of you to kind of teach you what this is. Oh, but let me show you what. You know, it's strange. These people are weird to us. Like, we don't get it, but this was very common. This was very normal in ancient Near Eastern societies. And they were just coming before the Lord saying, you've given us this. You've blessed our herds. And now, Lord, we come and sacrifice in your temple to say, great is thy faithfulness. And you know what they did is they took that food and they fed the poor in the city. And they also fed the priests. The priests lived in the temple, and so they didn't have their own pantries. And so these sacrifices that were thankfulness to God also met the needs of very important people in the community there. And so they would sacrifice. But when they were sacrificing these 70 bulls, it was symbolic because Noah had 70 descendants, okay? So this is kind of a strange genealogy that I won't go too deep into. But Noah had 70 descendants, and that became the nations of the earth that went out to the four winds. And so what they're saying when they sacrifice the 70 bulls is, God, it's your job to bring all of the family back together. It's your job to heal the world. It's your job to fix the chaos. Only because we scattered and the family broke and the family tree's a mess and there's dysfunction everywhere you go and there's chaos. And God, we're going to give you these 70 bulls to signify that those 70 descendants, that your family tree is going to be healed, that the world will be redeemed, that in the great day of the Lord, when the eastern sky splits and Jesus Christ rides in on the white horse and the trumpet call of God and the dead in Christ rise, that God will be all in all, and death will be defeated, and dysfunction will be defeated, and family brokenness will be defeated, and hatred and strife will be defeated, and wars and rumors of wars will be no more. Why? Because the family tree that was broken, we are praying in faith that in the future, you're the God who's going to put it all back together. Put it all back together. We're anticipating God's faithfulness in the future. We're anticipating that the world will come back home to Yahweh. We're anticipating that the world will be healed. We're anticipating that there will be peace. We're anticipating that there'll be no more funerals. We just had a funeral right before church in the World Prayer Center, and the parking lot was filled with people in tears. We're saying that in the great day of the Lord, that will be extinct. And that there will be joy, and there will be blessing, and there will be worship, and there will be delight. Friends, we're remembering God's faithfulness in the past. We're trusting for God's faithfulness in the present, and we're anticipating God's faithfulness in the future. When we come to worship, that's what we're doing. But Jesus stands up at this festival, and he shouts. And I want us to end here on the words of Jesus. Jesus raises his voice and he says, you all been talking about water and remembering the Red Sea and remembering the water from the rock, and you're celebrating God giving showers from the heavens that have filled your barns. That's great. Good job. I'm proud of you. You did your job. But that's not the most important thing that you can know about water. Jesus says, I am the water of life. I am the everlasting water. And you're racing to all these other things to be satisfied. But anyone who comes to me and drinks, you will never be thirsty again. John chapter 4, Jesus meets the woman at the well, and he said to her, everyone who drinks of the water right here at this well will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. And the water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Jesus says, thanks for the cup. I was thirsty, but I am the living water. And if you come and drink of me, I will create in you a spring of living water that will never run dry. Thank God for rain that heals the earth. Thank God for rain that fixes the barns and makes sure they're full. Thank God for the God who's over the waters and splits the Red Sea. That's all great. I am the water you are looking for, says Jesus. And in John chapter 7 right here, in verse 37, on that last day of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. I'll say it this way. Moses brought water out of the rock. But Jesus brings the water of life out of humans. Moses was out there in the wilderness and he struck the rock and he spoke to it at one time and God just kept doing cool stuff to get them toward the promised land, but that water ran out. Jesus is the one who creates in us springs of living water that will never run dry so that we become our own internal irrigation system by the power of the Spirit. And the world is fighting out there, but somehow, some way, the people of God have a cold cup of water in their souls and they're at peace. There's hatred and there's infighting. And we live in a world that thinks that if I'm going to win, someone else has to lose. The competitive thing that the enemy wants us to get stuck in the loop of. But the people of God go, you know what? God has just created for me an internal provision. Like, I have peace, I have joy, I have strength. He's opened up the windows of heaven in the past. And somehow, some way, I know that this year he's going to provide for me. We're going to be okay. And the world needs a church that walks out of the four walls of the building and we step into the city and they can sense in us, we're going to be okay. Why? Because the springs of living water are gushing up from within us to eternal life for all of those around us. I just, right here at the close, I want to say a couple things. I want to ask this question. How do you access the streams of living water that are deep within you? How do you access? The answer is to develop a life of prayer and worship and scriptural meditation. How? How do you access? Jesus said, I'll give you the springs of, he says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Well, how do you access that? You have to develop a life of prayer and worship and scriptural meditation. I was driving around earlier today and there was a property near us and I saw that they were installing a well. I'm preaching on John 7. Water, everlasting life, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living. I'll make you a well within yourself by the power of the Spirit. And the property near us, they're drilling a well, and there's a big crew out there today. And do you know what a well actually is? There's four aquifers within the Denver Basin aquifer system. Aquifers are these big bowls of water down underneath. And I'm no geologist, and I'm no science teacher, but I know enough about the four aquifers because we've got a well that goes 350 feet down. It's the Dawson Aquifer, it's the Denver Aquifer, it's the Arapaho Aquifer, and then it's the Laramie Fox Aquifers. And the Laramie Fox is like 3,000 feet deep. The Denver and the Dawson are like 350 and 700. And so most of the wells in this region here on the eastern slope of the Rocky Mountains are like in those top two. And what they have is a well is a hole drilled into the ground to access water contained invisibly down in the aquifer. And what you have is a pipe and a pump. A pipe and a pump. And a pump's installed down there in the pipe. And what it does is you get it pumping and you prime the pump and you get it pumping and there's nothing. But sometime today, this afternoon, on the property right by us, something that was invisible this morning became visible, and it's going to resource a family for the next 50 years. And Jesus says, I have put a reserve of water deep within you, but what you have to do is you have to partner with that well and that pump so that that water can be accessed. And so how do you access the water that God has provided within us? What you do is you pray. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step of the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night, and he'll be like a tree that's planted by streams of living water that bear fruit in every season and whose leaf never withers, and whatever they touch, it prospers. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And somehow, some way, even on the brink, even when it doesn't look like it's going to work, he leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our soul. Friends, if you will live in the presence of God, if you will pray the scriptures, if you will worship, listen, when I'm on the brink, the thing that I have to do is I have to worship. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't obviously change the scenario. If I need money, I got to go out and do something. Somehow, some way, though, the counterintuitive move in the kingdom of God is before you try to go work, you worship. Lord, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. You are my hiding place, and you always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will find rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will put my trust. And surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he'll deliver me from the destruction that stalks in darkness and the pestilence that's waiting at noonday. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 all around me, but it will not come near me. Only with my eyes will I see and behold the reward of the wicked. I will be with you in trouble and I will deliver you and I will honor you with long life. I will satisfy you, says God, and I will show you my salvation. I don't know how it all works, but I know that is the only way where you can tap into the subterranean streams that are hiding down deep in your soul. And when you go to that place, something opens up. And God has been faithful in the past, and he'll be faithful right now in the present. And you darn sure know that he's going to fix it all in the future. Friends, worship Jesus, because Jesus is the one that will make it so that we have all the water that we need in this dry and weary world. Can you say amen? Stand with me tonight. As the team comes to lead us in worship, I want you to be thinking about where you need to see God's salvation tonight. I want you to close your eyes for just a minute. The communion team is coming and we'll be ready to receive communion in just a minute like we always do, but I want you to bring your needs to God. What are you scared of? What's taunting you in your soul? What has you anxious? God's not mad at you. God's not shaming you tonight. Let's be honest in the presence of God. And if we can't say these things in church, then I quit. We can bring our anxiety to God. We can tell the truth about our situation. And so I want you to begin to tell God where you need him to be faithful. What's got you nervous? What's got you worried? Lord, we need you to fix this. We need you to heal this. We need you to restore that. Lord, I need you to bring my kid home from the wilderness of sin. Lord, I need you to restore a relationship. Lord, I need you to heal my body. Lord, I need you to provide for my needs. Lord, I need you to take care of my neighbor. God, who was faithful in the past, we need you to step right into this moment in the present and provide for us. And so, Jesus, you hear our cry. And you know that we're thirsty. You know that we're weary. You know that we can't do this on our own, and so tonight we want to access the streams of living water that are deep within us. We want to be a people that have a well of life flowing out of us. We want to be a people that give that life to the world. And so, Lord, would you open up the streams deep within us tonight? Can you begin to ask him for that? To open up the streams deep within you tonight? The water that used to gush, the water that used to flow so naturally, it's been clogged and it's dried out. Would you ask him to just open up fresh water in you tonight? Fresh joy in you tonight. Fresh life and healing and blessing and delight in you tonight. Jesus, only you can do this. If any one of you is thirsty, you should come to me, says Jesus. And so, Jesus, we're going to do just that. Friends, what we do here is we move through the room. If you're physically able to come and get communion elements, you can grab those and go back to your seat as we worship. Hold them there in just a minute. I'll come and lead us in receiving. If you're not able to get out of the row, tap your neighbor. They'll bring you an extra one. But come and worship Jesus tonight as we come to the table of the Lord.
With God, the Lord.
Since we're on, could you be ready for Overcome?
Yeah.
I sense that many of us in this present moment are afraid that it's all going to fall apart. And we're going to sing Overcome here after we receive communion as just a rebuke to the devil. We're going to make it. We're going to thrive. Jesus has overcome. We're going to overcome. It's going to be okay. So tonight, as you would get ready to receive communion, grab the bread and on the night he was betrayed, it just looked like it was ending in failure. It looked like it was over. It looked like death was gonna have the last word. Jesus says, this is my body and it's broken for you, and I'm gonna enter into the death first and I'm going to defeat it so that you will draft in after me and defeat death. And so tonight, I want you to picture Jesus sitting at the table with you and reaching across and giving you the bread, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. And as often as you do this for the remembrance of me, friends, Jesus has provided for you all you need. You may receive the bread tonight. On the same night, he took the cup of wine and he said, "This cup is the new covenant and it's given in my blood and it's given for the remission of your sins." Friends, Jesus has a drink for us tonight. Jesus is here so that we're satisfied, so that we have all we need, so that we have joy. The cup of wine brings joy tonight in the presence of Jesus. You're forgiven. You're made new. Drink up to your salvation tonight. And now let's sing this from the depths of our being. We will overcome. Make all things new. He's going to put it all back together. Would you open your hands tonight to receive the blessing? I pray this week springs of living water would burst forth that you could never imagine. Joy burst forth that you could never imagine. Strength, power, and vigor that you could never imagine, energy and bounce and faith and courage. Lord, let those streams of living water burst forth from within us. I pray this week, may the Lord our God bless you and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord smile big upon you and all of your people. And may he grant you his shalom tonight in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all God's people said, amen. Can we give God thanks for what he's done here tonight? Hang tight, hang tight. Just give me 30 seconds to clip through a few announcements. If you're new, come see us at Guest Central in the back. The prayer team is coming forward. If you would like agreement in prayer about anything, please join us. We've got Military Connect right outside this hallway in room 160 after this. And if you want to serve, swing back by the table in the back, and upstairs, Ellie's in the children's hallway. She can give you information. Last thing, last Friday night afterwards, we took all the college and 20-somethings that were here over to In-N-Out Burger. We had 52 people come to In-N-Out Burger, bought them dinner. It was a great time, great time. So God is doing a cool thing with the young adults here. Pastor Josh, who leads our young adults ministry, is back at the table. If that's you and you don't know Josh, please swing by and get to know him. Go from here tonight in God's grace and peace. Much love.